Bella D'Angelo Show, a unique voice in conservative talk radio, can now be heard irradiating stupidity, teaching critical thinking, and encouraging confidence. So forget the Mickey Mouse madness and get back to the facts with your host, Bella D'Angelo.
I tell you what, it didn't even occur to me until tonight. I am going to be smoking hot. Besides on top, but smoking hot for sure. Eric, I'm in the mobile studio, and it hit 80 plus today and humid. Wow. And I can't run the AC, otherwise you're going to hear that. And the birds are chirping, so I keep the windows up. If I didn't have this gangster limo tint, I'd really be miserable.
I don't know. Birds chirping in the background might be kind of pleasant.
All right, I'll try it. Let me know. At least it's an upgrade. You know, I used to sit in the subway parking lot in Watford City, North Dakota, when I was working in the oil field, and just hoping that one of the Pride Nation station, you haven't heard me say that one in a long time, trolls wasn't coming up to proposition me while I was doing the show.
Yeah, a little bit of that happened at the oil patch, didn't it?
Telling you what. We're going to have a great show tonight. We've got John McManus, who is a 60-year veteran with the John Birch Society, president of John Birch Society. We're going to get into talking about the economy and all kinds of different things. I'm telling you, it's such a wild ride right now with what's going on with Hillary and Trump. I mean, this is the most exciting time to be alive in this election cycle, and I can't wait because there isn't anybody else that I know of that ran around being... I literally started this morning out with a panic attack when someone told me, oh, yeah, Hillary's going to get in, and it's going to become Germany and rapings everywhere. I mean, I have worked, you know, for 6 years trying to get people to wake up. But first, before we get into all of that, a year ago, I took my cross burning, my pointy little white hat, Mickey Mouse reindeer games. I pointed the big black dude south, and I went to Oklahoma. I was hell-bent to stay in the oil field. I was going to do whatever I could to stay. You know, I don't think a lot of people know, Eric, that I've worked, I was telling you this earlier, 9 jobs within the last year in 4 states.
That's quite the gypsy in you.
Well, it's a couple of things. So, and for new listeners, yes, I worked in the oil field. I'm from Minneapolis. A lot of people don't believe it. I still don't believe it. I still think a Southern woman gave unexpected birth. She was coming through in a Kenworth. They pulled over. She gave birth, and there was a swap in the nursery because I cannot believe I'm related to the people I'm supposed to be related to. I cannot believe that my strong, far, far right-wing views came from this state, because when I left here, I was determined I was never, ever coming back here. I mean, there wasn't anything that was going to get me back here, especially when I met you guys. And when I was able to come in with my steel-toe boots, my jeans, my Carhartt jacket, and curse like the roughneck that I really am. But really, you all confirmed my belief in what was coming, what was going to happen. Not one of you questioned what I believed, and you all supported the effort which built this radio show. But that was my fear in coming back here, was I thought, how in the world, and trust me, there's a lot of company men that spend a lot of counseling hours calling me, especially when I first got here, and said, now, how are you going to get a job? How are you going to stay employed? How are you going to keep that mouth of yours under lock and key so you don't end up in human resources? But no, I was in Oklahoma last year at this time, down in the Oklahoma City play of the oil field. I made a lot of friends in a short period of time. And I was down there during the really massive tornado season, and I was just talking earlier to Wilson about the tornadoes that ripped through Kansas. I'm telling you, you have not experienced tornadoes unless you were down in Oklahoma in Tornado Alley. And I would wake up every day, and I questioned my sense of mind when I thought, I'm living every day to get up, go from rig to rig, look at their radar, and then determine which rig I was going to next, come home at night, spend the evening in a restaurant next to a movie theater so that I could run to it when the big one came. That's when I said to myself, self, really? But the thing was, when the oil field crashed, everybody was desperate to save and keep their business. And when they realized my strong ties to all of the, not only the oil companies, but all you guys, I mean, it didn't matter who I was selling for. You would always, want to support who I was working for. But the reason there were so many was because out of desperation, everybody was trying to hang on. And, my biggest fear was, where am I going to go now? And I never thought I was going to come back to Minneapolis, but I am here. I've been meeting some terrific people. I'm going to talk about my travels here in Minneapolis. But let me share a little bit about Oklahoma, because down in Oklahoma, different from Williston, there was a lot of civilization. It was completely different. And I would have stayed if it hadn't been for the tornadoes. I endured it. But one thing, so I blew into one of the company men, and right out the bat, I didn't even ask. I just shoved him aside in there. You know how I roll. I said, I need your radar. And so he moved out of the way. I took over the computer and I went right to the radar. While I was doing that, I was explaining my radio show. And then I looked at him and I said, by the way, if you got lunch on, I wouldn't mind a bowl of it. And then I teased him, and you've heard me say this before. I said, I'm going to tell you how I do business. So if you can handle it, you can decide if you want to work with me. I said, I'm very comfortable here at the rig, and I mean it. If you had lunch, I'd go blow up your microwave. If I had laundry, I'd throw it in the washer and dryer, and I'd leave you dishes to clean and close the fold so you feel comfy and needed. And he started to laugh. And then I said, and you could be my personal weatherman. You can call me and tell me where these dudes are so I know where to go every day. And he looked at me and he said, you need to toughen up because this is Oklahoma and tornadoes are serious here. And I said, well, let me get my bearings first. I've only been here a couple of days. I'm still learning the lay of the land. I took off though, Eric, and this is what I loved about the oil field and what always made me scared about coming back to Minneapolis was that you could walk into a rig, never seen one of you guys before. You're treated like you've been known forever. You tell a little bit about your life story. They share a little bit about yours. And before you know it, you're as if you've been friends forever. You're invited into the rig on a regular basis. You can come in on the evenings, the weekends. You can burn a steak. You can watch a football game. Well, when I left that day, that company man called me and he said, you know what? He said, I'm sorry I said anything about you getting some nuts to handle these tornadoes. I said, no. I said, it's true. I got to do it because I'm down here and I'm determined to stay and to make a run of it. And he said, well, I just want you to know, don't go home until about 9 o'clock. And he said, because it's really bad and you're not going to be comfortable till about 9 o'clock going home that night. Well, at some point, oil will come back. I don't know when. It's been kind of inching back up. Eric Olson is... He is Montana Shrug Tea Party. He is also a company man. That's how we met in the oil field. And we're going to get into talking about jobs and economy. But, it really was an industry that unfortunately collapsed pretty fast and pretty hard. I still stay connected to my friends and family from the oil field. But I'm blessed that I'm meeting some really good redneck company-like men here in Minneapolis finally to help me feel a little bit more comfortable. And I don't know that I'll ever call Minneapolis home, but I will say this. I am bound and determined to make an impact and make a difference within this state, because when I left, I said, you know what? The liberalism is so mentally out of control, insane. That's why I didn't want to come back. But if anybody could come back with some retribution to pay and to make a difference, it's me. And I am relentless in my pursuit. But it's pretty exciting times when, Eric, I talk to so many people, 18-year-olds, I talk to Democrats, and you know what they're all saying to me? Go Trump.
Go Trump, good. That's hope and change, the real kind of hope and change we need in this country. Somebody to shake her up big time.
Well, what do you think of this idea? I told you about this while I was driving in, but I want the listeners to hear. So, this morning, and I mean this, I want to know what it is that, what behind closed doors deals, or what is it that Dayton had to do that he dumped all this money? I think three-fourths, it's probably higher. It could be 80% of the people in this stupid town are working for MnDOT, because there isn't a street that is not tore up. Eric, I mean it. I left this morning. I was all excited. 494 looked a little open. So I take 494. Because, see, I have to go from Maple Grove to Edina. And that's due south of here. But they've shut all the main arteries down. So everybody has to go down 169. Well, I won't do it. I have to keep moving. I can't stand that bumper to bumper. No, I can't. So I get on 494. It shuts down at Bass Lake. I start to head west. I go down Vicksburg. The road is just completely closed. So I finally make it over to 101 to head down to 55 to jump down to 101 again. Then I get down to 494. Well, anyways, while I'm waiting in line on 101 where it's all backed up, five cars in front of me spin a Louie to get out. They just can't take it. And I'm like, well, God bless America. Good luck. But I know where you cheats are headed, and it's only going to get worse. Then I thought to myself, you know how we could make a serious impact on the Somali, the huge Somali population here? Think about this, Eric. If all major arteries are shut down with road construction, if there was like a state of emergency and it was declared that we had to evacuate the state for X amount of time, you know what would happen to those many people trying to get onto the roads when you can't even get on them to begin with? Then you get the road rage. People would just bust out and start killing each other out of just insanity and the madness of it all.
Or maybe you would have one of those not-so-often tornadoes. I was just looking up tornado statistics for Minnesota. You've had 1,721 over the years, and average 27 a year, so you're not Oklahoma safe up there for sure.
Yeah, but they're not the size of the dudes down in Oklahoma. But here, so then I was thinking, as I'm driving home tonight, I was having a nice drive home. I got out a little bit early to save me from some of the madness and sanding. And then I started thinking, you know, Minnesota needs a visual. This is the one state that didn't vote for Reagan. My God, we've got Mark Dayton, Al Franken, Keith Ellison. I mean, it's just nuts. And the Somali, the huge, we are supporting Somali, which I'm really excited. Ron Ransener is going to be joining the show on a regular basis. He's local here. Mark Dayton actually personally hates him for what he's doing to try and make an impact with the Somali refugee. I've got a couple other people that are going to be joining the show. But here's the thing. I thought, what if, Eric, I ran around and all those detour signs, you know, there's 10 trillion some of the freaking things all over the place. What if I painted them, Hillary is your man, and I put little ISIS flags on the top of them?
That would get the point out, wouldn't it? People just don't understand how this refugee program's going. Your Ransener last week just scared the heck out of everybody, laying everything on the table about what it costs, the seriousness of it, and the danger of what's going on with this refugee stuff.
Well, if you want, there goes my electric ring. I've got to roll it up so I can hear the birds again. I got to find studio space at some point. My coworker today was asking me, what am I going to do? It's 97, 100% humidity. I'm like, don't give me days like that. But here's the thing. When you're out and about, and we're about to go into one of our first breaks, and then we'll be back bringing on John McManus, here's the thing. Somebody looks at you and tells you that Trump was wrong about banning Somalis and Muslims. Throw them the bag of M&Ms and say, only one will kill you. They take a look at you and you say, only one. I don't know if it's the blue, the green, the yellow, the orange. Only one. I had a young kid say to me, I'll just bite off a little piece of each
I'll
one.
Just get a little
and
sick,
then I
huh?
say, what's that?
Yeah, I'll just get a little sick. I won't die.
Well, I said, and ISIS doesn't behead. I mean, here's the thing. And the good old boy told me the greatest thing about what I said about the last show. Here's the thing. They live in the sand. You mean to tell me they're going to tell you that they're a terrorist? How in the hell can you check their background? There isn't. There is no way. And you know what? Like Trump says, they probably want to stay in their homeland anyways, at least the ones that are actual refugees. But I've said this for a long time. It's not a refugee. It is a building of an army from within. It is Barry's plan. It is also further cementing the Democratic vote, and it's called conquer and divide. But I want to paraphrase, and this is Queen Under Pressure. It's the terror of knowing what this world is about. Under pressure that burns a building down, splits a family in two, put people in the street. The thing is, we are witnessing the terror and the fear that Trump is bringing within the establishment, within the Democrats. They think that they can pour all of Soros' money to protest in the street, to terrorize us, to think that they can stop us. But there's nothing that's going to stop us because we have been awoken, we are awake, and we are fighting, fight, baby, fight. We're about to go into our first break. We'll be right back. Don, take it from here. We'll bring John McManus back.
I'm here to introduce Trust Vets. If you could choose between doing business with an American military veteran or a complete stranger, who would you choose? If you're like me, you would choose the veteran. What if every time you needed to hire a professional for work around your home or office, you could choose to do business with veterans? Friends, the time has come. Visit the online directory of veterans at trustvets.com. to find painters, plumbers, dentists, bankers, and more. Whether you need your windows washed, your lawn mowed, or a handyman for a project, you can find verified American military veterans who would be proud to do the work for you. Many people want better for our veterans. Trust Vets is a simple way to make good on those intentions. You can help before hiring any local service. Visit trustvets.com. Come and join us in doing business with American military veterans. Trust Vets. They've definitely earned it.
And we are back. Bella D'Angelo here, Eric Olson, and I'm going to be bringing on my guest, John McManus, here in a second. So I was teasing. I was, John, before I bring you on, I kind of wanted to warn you because not everybody is familiar with my humor. So I meant to mention to you that if you maybe needed some type of mild sedative, I don't want to give you the big one because my guest from last week, he's still recovering. Eric, all I mentioned was my pink bra, and it literally, like, stopped him. He didn't even know where to go after that. So I can only imagine if I start talking about my company man's corner or my stripper pole, what might kind of go sideways tonight. But anyways, I'll try and behave. I'll try. I don't know how long I'll be able to do it. But anyways, John McManus, Mark Griffin, who has become a good friend here in Minneapolis, he's a John Birch Society member, and he also heard me on 1280 The Patriot, which is what I was on for a short period of time. He connected me with you, and you are a 60-year veteran of John Birch Society and president, and very honored to have you on this evening. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Excellent. Well, we also have Eric Olson with us as well. He's a John Birch Society member, as I am myself, and I'd like to have a little bit of fun on the show because, John, my goal of this show, and it always has been since day one, since I started it, sitting in my truck, which I'm still in, was to get those that don't normally listen, those that don't pay attention, the young, the disenfranchised, not just the like-minded, because we have got the biggest job ahead of us is to keep Hillary out, stop the further dismantling and destruction of this country. We have to bring back jobs. We have to start to stop the hemorrhaging. So I thought we'd get into talking about jobs and the economy because, you know, without economy, we don't have a country. And, you know, at the rate that the debt and everything that is looming in front of us, we need a real leader. We've got to stop this Mickey Mouse madness and this craziness that Hillary, because it's only going to bring eight more, in my mind, we'll never have a true conservative in the office if we don't stop it in November.
Well, what we need is somebody who will say the following. He will say, he or she will say, America became great not because of what government did, but because of what government was prevented from doing by the Constitution.
Absolutely.
Amen.
If we get anybody who would say that, I think the American people would resonate to it. They'd grab onto it and they'd say, that's the guy I want to see in the White House. That's the gal I want to see in the White House.
We don't have
too many people who even think that way.
Yeah, I think you need somebody a little better than Obama, who was a community organizer in South Chicago, had no credentials at all to run this country.
No, absolutely not, and he's done a terrible job.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, before you get on more of your topic, Robert Brown used to be your state director here in Montana, but he's done your series on the Constitution. He's a good friend of mine.
Wonderful series on the Constitution. You know, when he started that, he sent it to me, and he asked me to look it over and so forth, and I made a couple of tweaks for him, and he incorporated them. So I can say that I helped a little bit, but it's mostly Robert. He did a wonderful job with that Constitution series. And for any listener, we've got a Constitution series. It's six different DVDs. The way it's being shown is every Monday night for 6 weeks or every night for 6 weeks, 6 days in a row or whatever. But anyhow, it's well worth anybody's time. It's not boring at all. It'll teach you what you should have learned in grade school and high school, and you just nobody's teaching it anymore in this country. So we have to do it ourselves. See, the John Birch Society is an educational organization. We like to call ourselves a school without walls.
That's great. It is a good series. I've gone through it three times. I learn something every time that you miss just reading the Constitution.
Very good.
But Robert Brown does a great job of bringing in some history and the Federalist Paper quotes.
I was with him one time up in Montana, and I made the statement that if the federal government would obey the Constitution, that we'd have 20% the size of government, 20% the cost, and so on. And a lot of people in the audience nodded. And after the speech was over, a great big guy came up. He had bib overalls on and everything. He'd just come out of the field, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And he looked down at me and he said, "You said 20%. How about 5? And I said, okay.
I'm not going to argue
with a guy that big. He could be correct.
Yeah.
You know, what is it that the federal government does that it shouldn't do? Well, it's involvement in all kinds of things, education, housing, welfare, and so on. But one of the things that's really, that always has galled me is foreign aid. There's no authorization for foreign aid in the Constitution. I can remember one time telling an audience that I asked a fourth grader, if you're heavily in debt, should you give away money? And the fourth grader looked at me and said, of course not. So I said, well, how would you like to run for Congress?
Yeah. You know, our founders were very smart when they were in fourth grade back in those days because they were highly educated. They understood a lot more. Our kids,
you know, I've looked at grade school exams, eighth grade or something like that, the exam that was given to students 100 years ago. I don't think a lot of college graduates could pass it today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, even the immigration test, if you come in this country legally, is a tough civics test that most people can't pass.
Well, the immigration test has kind of been watered down itself. I have a neighbor who's an immigrant. He and his wife, they're both immigrants. He from England, she from Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of years ago, she finally went and took her exam for the become a citizen. She's now a citizen. And she showed it to me, and I said, this is interesting. She said, well, you can have it. I don't need it anymore, which is true. She doesn't need it anymore. So I did take that. I showed it to some of my colleagues. Everybody wanted a copy of it so that they would be able to poke fun at it or poke a compliment here and there. And there's not too many compliments you'd get from reading that.
They definitely watered it down from years past. That's too bad, you know, because civics is it. You know, we're old enough that we went through that system in grade school. They taught us civics from one end to the other.
Well, I did, too. I went through supposedly good schools, but I didn't know much about the Constitution. I knew that the president served for 4 years, and the Senate served for six, and the House served for two, and, you know, things like that. I didn't realize the restrictions on government power in the Constitution.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people say to me, well, what's your favorite part of the Constitution? And my favorite part is Article 1, Section 1, Sentence 1. It says, all legislative powers herein granted are vested in Congress.
Right.
In other words, only Congress can make a law. Do we violate that? Yeah. Presidents hand down executive orders that take on the force of law. Supreme Court issues a decree and it becomes a law. Both are wrong. All legislative powers herein granted in the Constitution are to be from the legislative branch. So we got to stop that. We got to stop the executive order business. We got to stop the Supreme Court making law, which they do, and they shouldn't.
Right.
So there's a lot in the Constitution that we got to get back to, and if we get back to it, we'll certainly have a better country.
You should say,
let me jump in here real quick, guys. One of the things that I say to people when people talk about how frustrating and aggravating and, you know, here's the thing. If everything happens for a reason, and Barry got into office because of frustration over politicians. He wasn't viewed as a politician. He was, even though, I mean, he was community organizer, but he wasn't viewed as a politician. He came in giving hope and change and giving this paradise speech of what he was going to do. And he got in because we were fed up with both sides back then.
That's right. Now we're even more fed up, huh?
Yeah.
But if I would have said to you 8-10 years ago, we're going to have an outsider come in that is self-funded, not bought by the establishment, and is going to terrorize and demonize and frighten the establishment and the Democrats to the point that if you think you're going to see a purging of emails like Hillary, watch out. The tsunami is going to be unbelievable because we do have someone coming in that has the kahunas to clean out the White House, which is one of the very first things I said in the beginning of my show. We got to start all over. They're all criminals.
It sounds to me like you're a Trump supporter. How's that? I'm pretty good at guessing at things like that.
Here's the thing, guys.
System in our country, and they don't teach the Constitution. They don't teach a lot of things.
Well, recently, Trump put together a very good plan. He's putting really good people behind him. He's laying out plans that will turn this country around. You know, to bring what we're talking about with jobs and economy. You know, we are the highest tax country in the world. It's what got me started in this whole thing. six, 7 years ago, I was in the manufacturing world here. I was watching. I was sitting in the boardrooms. I was listening as we're offshoring all of that business. That's why I called into Sean Hannity the first time. I couldn't take it. And, yes, I asked for Trump because the way I looked at it, what is the biggest complaint? You know, if you have never done something and you try and do a job that you have absolutely no experience in, we didn't have anybody from the business sector. The government doesn't promote, they don't create jobs. They make the government bigger. And we've got a country club.
Well, they do create jobs. They create jobs for bureaucrats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the number of federal employees continues to go up. And the taxes, of course, to pay for all that have to go up. And if they don't tax us to get it, then they'll print more money and lower the value of the dollar. I've done a program for the John Birch Society called Dollars and Cents, S-E-N-S-E.
It's got to be MnDOT. I can't see
it. And we get into what is money and so forth. People like to hear these kinds of things. They like to know that there are some people that are have got it figured out a little bit. And, you know, we don't say we know everything, but we know an awful lot more than the ordinary American. And we'd like to share that with everybody.
Yeah.
So anybody who's listening, call, get on the internet, go to jbs.org, jbs.org. Look up what the John Birch Society stands for.
We're going to go into our next break. We'll be right back. But a lot of people have woken up. And, you know, I was listening to Hannity earlier today, and at these rallies, tens of thousands, and there's women, there's Hispanics, they're black. Of course the media doesn't get it because they don't want us to get it. But we are, and we've got to keep fight, baby, fight, and go Trump. Don, take it from here, and then we'll be right back.
You don't find any better guys in a family team than Polar Builders. These guys are not the storm chasers. They are the GAF and Timberline certified Polar Builders. Upgrades your home needs after hail damage to roofing, siding, and windows. Call and ask for Bella at Polar Builders, 952-895-8100. Again, that is Bella at Polar Builders, 952-895-8100.
And we are back, Bella D'Angelo, with Eric Olson and John McManus. I want to give a shout-out because, literally, guys, talking about jobs and the economy, I am very blessed to have a great sales job. I work for great guys at Great Northern Granite. I sell high-end stone to contractors. And the other day, guys, I was just missing the oil field like no tomorrow. And I know, Eric, you can tell on the days when I'm missing it because the text message, you can just hear it in the text message. Yep, and I was headed to the sales call, and all I thought about was I just wish I could meet one of the guys, you know, meet somebody here that's like what you guys were always like. Like I said earlier in the show, you know, you walk in, you tell your life story, you're treated like you've been known for a long time, and you instantly hit it off, and then you get to rant. And so when I walked in to this contractor's office and he mentioned my big truck with the Patriot, we got right into the radio show. And you know what, guys? He said to me, he said, why don't you do the radio full time? Well, anybody that really knows me knows that I'm a workaholic like nobody else. And I also wouldn't know what to do if I didn't have, if not one sales job, but a couple sales jobs, because I also use my day experience to bring it to the show and talk about what I do during my day. And he's just become a great supporter of the show. He said he was going to be listening tonight. And I just appreciate Gainesville, one more good old boy in this state of Minneapolis. Like I said, I don't know if I'll call it home. It's still on a day-to-day basis, but it's great to be connected to so many other great people. It lends so much hope because, you know what, guys? I was at Kowalski's today, and I was checking out, and I looked at the two gals, the two cashiers, actually, but I'm sorry, there was a third one, the beggar, and I said, is Hillary your man or Trump? Two of them high-fived me. The third one said she wasn't sure. A guy came around from behind. He said, can I have one of your cards? He said, I'm a Southern man. I'm south of Mason-Dixon line. I'd love to hear your radio show. And you know what? It's that type of interaction that gives me so much hope and momentum in November. We can't back down and believe that this is going to be a landslide. That's why we've got to get out and push to keep Hillary out, because I'm telling you, the destruction that will come to this country, and I mean, we can't take her being in office. And like I said, we will not be able to get those that are out in droves in support of Trump to come out again. We are getting people that have never even voted before. I'm talking to Democrats here in the heart of Minneapolis that have told me they can't stand her and they are voting Trump. It is a true revolution, and at any time, if we needed to stop the further destruction, dismantling, the far overreaching criminal government, get back to the Constitution, get back to what this country was founded on, entrepreneurialism, capitalism, the American dream, the American spirit, getting the rest of the world to believe in us again with an actual leader. I mean, can you, Eric, I think, and John, if we do, when Trump gets in November, I've mentioned this before, I'll either be a professional pole girl or stand-up comic, because I'm going to have to put my energy somewhere, but I will be so happy. I don't even know what it was, I don't remember when we last, what it felt like to see and to have an actual leader. Can't breathe.
Been a while.
I think Donald Trump ought to put you on his payroll.
Yeah. You never know what'll happen. But hey, John, what about? I know you guys are big into what's going on with trade, the TPP, and transatlantic, and all that. Can you give us a little short, like, summary of where you think all that's headed?
Yeah, well, we have the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That's to have 12 nations unite in something like NAFTA, and then we have the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership (TTIP) for Europe. That would put us into the European Union. The British people are getting ready to vote on June 23rd whether or not to stay in the European Union, and it looks like they might vote to say, we want out. I hope they do.
Back.
I hope they do vote to get out. But what we don't want are more entangling alliances. That's a phrase attributed to George Washington, but it was really stated by Thomas Jefferson. But anyhow, we don't want either of those. If you look at the results of NAFTA, you could just say to yourself, well, the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, is NAFTA on steroids.
That's right.
And then the other would put us into the European Union. Now, 28 nations have given up their sovereignty to the European Union. They don't admit that they've given up their sovereignty, but different leaders of different countries have said 80% of what goes on in their country now doesn't come from their own legislature. It comes from Brussels, the headquarters of the European Union. And
right.
For us to want to get it into being a part of that is absolutely suicidal.
Crazy.
So we don't want to do either one of those. We don't want the TPP, and we don't want the TTIP. And anybody who's listening should contact your congressman and your senator and say no more trade deals. If we want to have a trade deal, let's do it country to country and never mind these groupings.
Right. You know, NAFTA and GAFTA, you know, the Mexican and the North American or the Canadian deals cost us dearly.
Companies in the United States are still packing up, closing down, and moving to Mexico.
Right.
General Motors is building a place to build automobiles in the heart of Mexico.
Yeah, you know, in the New Mexico governor, it just came out down there that they built a big super highway, heavy vehicle port down there to allow Mexican trucks to come in overloaded and unload in New Mexico, where our truckers aren't allowed to do those kind of loads.
Yeah, these trade deals always favor the other guy, not us.
Yeah.
America has lost, what, $500 billion worth of business because of NAFTA? NAFTA came about in the 1990s. Bill Clinton signed it.
Yeah.
So does Hillary support that? I think so. I certainly think so. Let me get into something. You've probably heard the phrase New World Order.
Yep.
there are people who want that. George H.W. Bush, the first George Bush, used to talk about it all the time, New World Order. Well, Hillary Clinton spoke at the United Nations 6 months ago, and she told a group of homosexual, transgender, and abortion advocates, all her audience at the United Nations, she told them that deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed. So what she wants to do is throw out the old order and bring in the new world order. You can't have a new world order until you throw out the old one. And the old one is the one that she's targeting. Cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases. It's absolutely amazing.
It's insane.
And I wish Mr. Trump would make a point of that. Maybe he will before too long. Who knows?
Yeah.
Hope so.
She also wants us to emphasize empathy for ISIS. So I would like to send her personally into the heart of it and conduct a job fair and see how well she fares. I mean, it's
so they'll separate her head from her body like they've done with others?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Didn't come any sooner. Her, Wasserman Schwartz, Pelosi, all the rest of them, all the madness, all the insanity. Here's the thing, though, and this is what I've been saying, you know, if they weren't acting as batshit crazy as they are, guys, our job would be really hard. If it weren't for people like all the grassroots efforts, all the people that have been going out and you know, doing their day job, but yet getting on the air at night, going out talking to people, doing seminars, you know, doing blogging, all these things that have built this momentum, this platform for Donald J. Trump to have all this support. The one thing that I heard over the weekend is that in four separate polls, Hillary was lagging behind Trump. And one of the things that has always made me mad going into these elections is they don't take the gloves off and go after the other. You know, Romney had so much ammunition to go after Barry, and he didn't do it. And I learned an awful lot through this process because I realized they were all in it together. I've said this before. It didn't matter what seat they were in. They didn't really want it. They were still going to make all their money. They were still going to be in the country club. It didn't mean anything. That's why this time they're scared because they can't control Donald. He will take his gloves off. It's not even June yet. And if you think that he can't wear her down to a nub, well, I don't know anybody better. Because so far he knocked out 17 candidates, and she can't get rid of an angry old socialist. I mean, really, Hillary?
You know, the John Birch Society doesn't back candidates and doesn't support candidates, but I want to tell you a story about Donald Trump. When he built his Mar-a-Lago place down there, he was building a golf course to go with it, and he put up a 50-foot high flagpole and put the American flag flying. Well, the town fathers came by and they said to him, "We have an ordinance that says you can't have a flag flying more than 30 feet high." And he says, "There's a penalty of $1,000 a day if you keep it going." He said, "Okay, thank you very much," and he let it go for a while. 120 days later, he owes $120,000 because he hadn't taken the flag down. And he called him back and he said, let's talk about this. He says, "I'll make you a deal." He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "I'll donate the $120,000 to the veterans to take care of the veterans, and I'll take the flag down if you'll wipe the books clean and I'm not guilty of anything." So they agreed to do that. So he took the flag down. He gave the $120,000 to the veterans. And then he had the guy building the golf course to build his bulldozer over here, and he said, I want a hill 20 feet high. So he built a hill 20 feet high, and he put a 30-foot flagpole in it and put the American flag, and it was still flying 50 feet above everything else.
Yeah. See,
that's
Donald
Trump,
right?
That's Donald Trump. So yeah. You said you like humor. I think that's a very humorous story, and I salute him for doing that. I just hope against hope that he's going to bring real change. We'll see. I certainly don't want to see Hillary in the White House.
Absolutely.
I just got finished writing a piece about the Clinton Foundation. I write a blog two or three times a week, and I put it up on Inside JBS. If you go to the website, just go to InsideJBS/blog, and you'll see what I put up there two or three times every week.
Good. Well, we know you guys
fabulous.
Do a lot of good stuff.
Okay, well, it's been a delight talking with you. We can do it again sometime.
All right, we appreciate
John,
it, John.
Thank you so much for all that you've done. Thank you for your patriotism, and you're a great guy, and I want to thank Mark Griffin for introducing us, and I'd love to have you on the show again.
Okay, well, you know, you have my phone number. Let me know.
God bless
have
you,
a good night.
And I kind of behaved. I get points
yeah,
tonight.
You kind of behaved. Good for you. I have a soothing influence on younger people. Okay, I'm going to say goodbye.
Good night.
All right. Say,
good night.
Take care. We're going to take a break here in a second. But, no, literally, I did take a double take, Eric, because I was kind of like, wait a minute. He's kind of a big fish in the big pond of John Birch Society. You don't want to scare him off too badly. I mean, I did
see right.
I got my duct tape around my wrist. I've got my little list of things I shouldn't say. Just like, can you believe it? I'm still employed.
It's like a quarterback.
And I haven't said some of my key words that I usually say. But, no, I work for great guys at Great Northern Granite. And when hail comes, I'll be selling some roofing, siding, windows for Polar Builders. I'm truly, truly blessed. I want to thank everybody that I've been meeting here in Minneapolis. I really want to grow the listenership in Minneapolis. We eventually have meetings with Hubbard Broadcasting. And at some point, if I'm honored and blessed to get the show back onto another terrestrial radio station, I couldn't wait because I am relentless in my pursuit to get this show to the masses. Because when anybody says that the millennials don't listen and how do we reach those that aren't uninformed and don't want to pay attention, well, you have to have an outlet for them. And I'm sorry, but I'm not Laura Ingram and I'm not Michelle Malkin. I want to entertain you, get you laughing, and then get you listening. And we're up against our next break. John, take it from here. We'll be right back.
If you are looking for a straightforward, conservative, good old boy who can also rant about all the madness, but seriously, Bella endorses Aaron Petilla with North Star Insurance. Aaron will take care of all your insurance needs with small town service, and he will even save you some money. Tell Aaron Bella sent you. You can get Aaron at 952-856-6074. And that again is Aaron at 952-856-6074.
And we are back, Bella D'Angelo here, Eric Olson. I want to thank my guest, John McManus with the John Birch Society. You know, it's like I say, every day it's a new, I keep looking back and, you know, it's such a, I still, Eric, can't believe it was such a dichotomy, if you will, being in the oil field. I mean, there were the stories that are so bizarre that I still can't even imagine, and I say, but for the grace of God, I made it out of there. But yet, on the other hand, I made such great friends, and I fell in love with the oil field, and you guys taught me so much, and it's a place like, if you haven't been there, it's hard to imagine, and I started filming my documentary. I'm back working on that. I've got a videographer here, and, you know, that's why I was determined to keep talking about the oil field on the show because, I mean, that's where I was. And it changed me an awful lot. And it becomes more and more apparent when I run into people from my past. So I sent this out in a text, but I'd stopped at, I've got this goofy farmer's tan. And I want to even it out before I hit the pool. And so I stopped in to this tanning salon that I used to go to, and I didn't know if she still owned it, the woman that owned it before. And I bounced in there, and she looked at me and she kind of took a step back and she said, "Wow." She said, "It's you, but you've really changed." She said, "You kind of sparkle now." And when I thought about, you know, what I was like before leaving and now, and I just, you know, I looked at her and I said, "Well," I said, "the oil field made me really fearless. I mean, when you're a single woman on your own in the oil field, walking tall in the man's world, there isn't anything you can't do." And I said, "That was the one thing that you guys always said to me, is that there isn't anything you can't do. We believe in all that you're doing." So I looked at her and I said, "And by the way, there isn't anything stopping me from doing my part to keep that windbag, that killery water buffalo in a orange panic pantsuit." You know, I said, she stands beside and she will ride his ass on her failures to the end of her dreams. She stands as the greatest man-hater while being the most abusive to women. That doesn't even scratch the surface of the criminal, abusive, lunatic. There isn't anybody she won't pander to. There isn't any lie she won't make. There isn't, I mean, when I sit and listen, but let me finish this. When I finished making that statement, I kind of expected her to maybe have a look of horror. Eric, I can't tell you how many women I'm talking to in Minneapolis that hate her and will not vote for her, which is, I stay focused on, because like this morning when they were on my Facebook page talking about how when Hillary gets in, I mean, I wouldn't be able to take it. I don't know what I would do if Hillary got in, but when I focus and see, especially in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the amount of people that say she's a criminal, she's got to be completely exhausted at night. She's got to wake up in the morning and ask herself, what can I do? How do I take Sanders out? You know, how many people go missing in the middle of the night around the Clintons? She's got more problems that surface every day with the emails, the Clinton Foundation. I mean, when the videotapes and the interviews of all of those poor women that Slick Willie raped, I mean, Eric, have you heard the Broderick and the rest of the interviews of just how perverted? He is a sexual predator, and she enabled him.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that coming up on the Internet these days about the history of all that and how she shamed those women after the affairs. It's tragic.
The most horrifying interview, I sat and listened to that poor Broderick woman who explained how Bill comes after her, punches her, leaves, she goes and has to meet with Hillary. Hillary is syrupy nice 1 second, then turns on her heels the next and stares right at her in an evil look and says, "I know exactly what you did." Slick then stalks her afterwards, and then Hillary comes up behind and destroys her financially. Now, let me ask you something.
Yep.
Young kids, where do they get their information? They Google everything, do they not?
Right.
Okay, if they know nothing about this side of the Clintons, I believe they're going to start figuring it out when they start Googling them, because there's generations that know nothing. But I got a feeling, and I want to also bring this point. They're going to find out when they start Googling. You know, the Sanders supporters, and I talk to so many that tell me, just the other day, I was at a gas station. There was a young 20-something-year-old, and I asked him, "Are you going to vote?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm a Sanders." And I said, "What if he's not on the ticket?" And he said, "Well, then then I'm going after Trump, because," he said, "that old lady, she scares me. I think she's really creepy." The Sanders people,
grandma.
Here's the one thing that Sanders is doing, is the longer he stays in this, the more he helps Trump. The Sanders supporters will not, unlike other elections where the one Democrat nominee, they don't get on the ticket, the party coalesces and comes together, Eric, look at where we were at just a couple of months ago, scared to death that we were headed into a contested convention.
Yeah.
The Republican Party is coming together, and it's the Democrats that are falling apart. And Sanders is just wearing Hillary down, and he's going to keep his supporters, or they will flip to Trump.
That's your Save America. I think if that happened, you know, I'd give them the extra 5 to 10% of the vote they need to win the election over the Democrat vote.
Hey, I did better this time. You got in a few more words than last time.
It'd be a landslide like Reagan is what we're thinking if this keeps going this way.
I said this all the time. I'll feel like I've given birth to like a thousand times over of how much work I have put into trying to get people to pay attention and listen, trying to get people to wake up. But you know what? This is a girl that loves her country. This is a girl that understands what this country will be like if we allow the progressive liberal, the maniacal New World Order to cement and finally destroy and take down this country. I got it a long time ago, and I've been relentless in my pursuit because I love this country. And I know what we stand to lose, because if we lose it here, where can we go? It's terrifying to look and see what's happening to the UK and my great friends and my great buddies over there and my family. And we're up against the end of the show, but this has been a great show. Eric, thank you. Tell quickly where people can find you, Eric.
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook at Eric Olson and on Twitter at Eric Shrugged, after the novel Atlas Shrugged, and of course Montana Shrugged on Facebook. And then watch for me on Fox News tomorrow. I'll be right behind Donald Trump when he comes to Billings, Montana, so I'll be waving at you.
I'm jealous. Okay, go out and be Bella tomorrow. Talk, walk, think, act differently. Talk to everybody. Ask them, who are you voting for? Hillary, your man, or go Trump? Fight, baby, fight. Good night. God bless. God bless America. And ciao for now.